The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you, for the grace of God which has been given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness to Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace, while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure unto the end, unimpeachable in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. When the crowds saw it, they were struck with fear and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I bring to your attention, beginning next Sunday, we will commence again for the new year the catechism classes for our children. We will keep them short so that the parents, you parents, will not be seriously inconvenienced in waiting. Next Sunday is the feast of the ever-great St. Michael the Archangel. We lay a little stress on this at this time because it is he who was in the beginning who fought the first fight, who fought the great fight, who fought the good fight. And he has been fighting this fight ever since. Therefore, I think it only good and only proper that we should prepare ourselves during these next few days before the feast itself, that we should prepare ourselves for the feast of St. Michael. There is so much that is going on. In every direction we see turmoil. In every direction we see confusion and wonderment. St. Michael should be the one that we should go to ask him for his help in keeping us in a spirit of peace. This morning's Mass stresses peace. Give peace. What do we mean by peace? I think many of us look upon peace as some kind of an armistice, that we put down our arms against enemies and ask our enemies to put down their arms against us. To a great degree, this is partly true, or to a great degree, this is true. But this is not the peace that we're speaking of. This is not the peace that our blessed Lord spoke and uttered to his apostles when he, after his resurrection, appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." The priest himself, especially if he be a bishop or even an abbot, his first greeting to the people when he says Mass is, "Peace be with you." What do we mean by that? Why is this uttered with such importance? Why is this presented to us so often and with such emphasis? Peace. We are, as I said a moment ago, in a state of turmoil. The turmoil is external, of course. But our interior lives today are filled with turmoil. We wander. And nothing seems to give us that little something that we are hankering after, that we are searching for, that we're looking for. We don't have that feeling of just calm serenity. There seems to be something inside of us that is constantly bubbling and bubbling. And we find ourselves looking in all directions to distract ourselves, to find those things which distract us from our inner turmoil. This has got to stop. And we, as Christian people, as people who are looking and giving honor and worship to God, that we're looking to the God we're looking for and in search of, we must do what is required of us to find that peace. Today's bulletin lays stress upon peace. I'm not going to underline it today because it is still a bit untimely, but at least I will allude to it in that Advent is coming. Really, the year is spent. Advent is on the way, and we will again be talking about our little monastic home chapels, our little monastic home altars. We're going to make a few more in case there are some who may not yet have one. But the whole emphasis is home. Home is the place. Home is the workshop wherein we work out our salvation. This is said to the monk and to the nun. The monastery and the convent is the workshop, the place of work for one to save his soul, her soul, to forge salvation. And it is in that home, in the quiet and the peace of that home, that one works out his own or her own personal salvation. There is no other place, of course, the church excluded, there is no other place that we know of that can give us that peace, that feeling of rest, that peace, that feeling of when you sit down, all is well. So few of us today have that feeling that all is well. Of course, we're giving sufficient cause. And unfortunately, because of that cause, that instead of the feeling that all is well with us, there is within us, and just it's just there. It's in the atmosphere, it's in the water we drink, it's just every place, the feeling of futility. We must pray that Almighty God does not allow that feeling of futility to take root within our souls and within our minds. Because the enemy of Saint Michael will use every trick that he can think of to keep us from advancing in the spiritual life. And if we feel that the things that we're doing are futile in the spiritual life, then of course he will have succeeded in closing the book as far as our spiritual advancement is concerned. We stress, and we always will stress, and will continue to stress the absolute urgent necessity of the development of our interior life. If our interior life is not as it should be, then indeed everything is futile. But if our interior life is as it should be, then everything is productive, productive of good. And what is good? That which in some way or another promotes the divine presence within us. Everything we do must be for the welfare and the betterment of Almighty God, and in so doing that we will advance ourselves to that place of salvation, to be with God for all eternity. So therefore, my beloved people, as we are working, desiring, hoping for our heavenly salvation, let us keep our minds clean. Let us keep our minds clear. Let us keep our minds settled. Let us throw out all of that. You know, the feeling today seems to be, and you can see why it's there, because of our fear to be alone. We've got places to go, we've got things to do, we've got people to see. The only place that matters, again, exclusive of our church, the only place that matters is our home. The only people that we have to deal with are the people within our own homes. And the only people we have something to say to primarily are the people in our own homes. And when that is missing, if those happen not to be there, then we can give more undivided attention to our beloved Savior. Let us never be afraid. Let us never wonder. Let us never think that God is not there with us. Yes, He is very much with us. And He knows our plight. Let us worry only for those things that are in some way hurtful to God. And in the presence of the angels, by the way, our angels are there. We have to ask for them. We have to ask Almighty God and His Blessed Mother, who is the Queen of Angels. We have to ask them to send the angels down to us, and we have to invite the angels to come to us. But we have got to give the angels specific jobs, and we've got to be specific in our language when speaking to the angels. And I promise you, to the degree that you are specific, to the degree that you speak to your angels in plural, to the degree that you ask them to help you, I promise you that you are in for the most pleasant surprise of your lives. Because the angels will perform exactly as you ask them to. Try it. I ask you to try it. Ask the angels, under the leadership of Saint Michael, to help you, to help those you love most. Those are the ones that we have to worry about a great deal, but in our worry for them, we must not allow that to disturb our own serenity. Above all, let us have peace in our minds and hearts and souls. Because it is only when peace is there that we can give God our undivided attention, which is what He wants. I ask you to read the bulletin very carefully. There's a quotation in this bulletin this time that I think you should read, just three very short lines, that you should read very carefully and see to what degree and to what extent it applies to us. Because sometimes when we speak in terms of wanting God, we mean what we say, yes. But in the very thought behind us, there seems to be a little hesitation that in loving God too much, we may have to turn loose too much of ourselves. And we haven't found out a way how to be able to handle that. If we wish to love God totally and completely and absolutely, we have to turn loose of ourselves totally, completely, and absolutely. It's as simple as that. I'll read you these three lines. Yet was I sore adread, lest having Him, I must have naught beside. We can't have God, my beloved people, and the things that we normally hanker after. Now, I'm not saying again, I repeat this, I say this from time to time, I am not saying that in what I'm referring to here means that all, unless you lead lives like monks and nuns, locked up in monasteries, not that we're locked up, but let's say enclosed in monasteries, in convents, this is not what is asked of us at all. Everyone, whether we are a monk or a nun or a doctor or a husband, or a wife, or a child, or uncle, or aunt, whoever. We're all asked to do precisely the same thing. And our homes should be, as we speak of the monastic home altars, our homes should be a type, as it were, of a monastery or a convent. Not, of course, to the degree, but at least our homes should be such that when we unlock the door to enter our homes, to enter our rooms, that there is a feeling of security, that I'm safe, that all is well, that I can sit down almost like running into the arms of the Father who is in heaven, and with trust in our hearts that we can go to sleep, knowing that nothing is going to hurt us. That's what we mean by peace. We owe it to ourselves to develop that within us, my beloved people.